Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, February 18th. I'm Ray Graff. It's Travel Today. We welcome back our friend Gene Gagnon of Plaza Travel Center in Latham, New York. If you're planning on getting out of Dodge, and Lord knows the weather here has been, well, it's worth it to get away sometimes. You got a travel question? Call us, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, unless you like the sub-zero weather and the 9 feet of snow, in which case, hang around. 800-348-2551 with your travel question. Email voxpop at wamc.org. Gene Gagnon and all sorts of travel, including train travel, will be on tap today in Vox Pop. Oh, it'll be fun. We'll see you then. Well, hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Travel Today. We're joined once again by certified travel counselor Gene Gagnon. Gene is the president of Plaza Travel Center, a woman-owned business since 1969. The Institute of Certified Travel Agents awarded her the designation of Certified Travel Counselor in 1985. She was an adjunct instructor of travel and tourism at University College of Syracuse University and Schenectady County Community College. At Plaza Travel, Gene specializes in VIP travel, custom planning, international itineraries, and group travel. You have a question? This is your expert. 800-348-2551 is your number. 800-348-2551. Or you could email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Gene Gagnon, how lovely to see you.
Oh, it's lovely to see you too, right?
You survived the rotten weather we had for a few weeks.
Yes, yes. It's chilly.
I'll tell you, those are the times you look longingly at trips far away that are warm.
I know. But unfortunately, we start hearing from people when it's too late. You know what I mean? They're like, I want to go away this weekend.
Yeah.
We're like, sorry, too late.
Talk to this woman I know who was... it was very cold down in New York City. And she said, oh, we're heading out to Mexico. I said, how do you just get up and go to Mexico when it's too cold?
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
So it does take a while to plan your travel. The number here is 800-348-2551. What do you have coming up?
Oh, Ray, choo-choo train.
You're going to be on a train?
I'm going to be on a train.
Well, it's about time.
I know. I'm going, taking a small group of people to the Alps. In April.
Oh, on a train. That's going to be tricky.
Well, no. Part of the trip is going to be the Golden Pass rail line.
What is that?
It goes from Montreux, from France into Germany.
Okay.
And it's a very, very scenic alpine route. It's going to be beautiful.
That's exciting. Now, how long is that train trip?
The train trip itself is only a day.
Oh, a whole day?
Yeah.
So will there be meals and such on
the... Yeah, we'll have meals on board the train.
I tell you, Gene, during the fun drive, or just before the fun drive, I was watching Channel 17, the local public TV station, and they were in fundraiser, too. And they had this show about America's scenic railroads.
Mm.
There are some great ones in this country.
Yes, there are. But this is the thing.
What?
Okay. This is my theory, okay? So it's only my opinion.
All right.
I talk to a lot of people about traveling, and I try to talk them into, if they have some really big trips on a bucket list, you know, they want to go to Africa, they want to go to Machu Picchu or whatever, they should do that now while they can. I mean... Then I have other people who say, well, I want to see the United States first. Well, the problem with that is it's going to be harder to go later on these bigger trips. And you can always get on a train, even when you're older. So I try to talk people into doing the big, harder trips first.
The more expensive trips.
Well, they're more expensive because they're further away.
Right.
I mean, but, you know, I don't really look at the cost of a trip if I'm talking to somebody.
I
don't like to sell travel. I like to share travel.
Oh my God!
Is that a line or
Pardon
what?
Me while I get some Alka-Seltzer.
No, but seriously, I get so excited when people are traveling.
Yeah,
you know. So that's my theory.
Well, how long have you been banking that line? You must have had that ready
to
go
for a while.
That's very good.
I just never had the opportunity to use it.
Very witty, wild. 800-348-2551. If you have a travel question for Gene Gagnon. So when is this trip?
This is the Alps, the peaks of Europe.
No, when?
Oh, when? That's the end of April.
Oh, that's exciting. So it's coming up.
It's coming up.
And you have everything, all your ducks are in a row, and you're ready to go.
Yeah, you know, if somebody else wants to go, they could still go.
Oh,
but,
I see.
But yeah. But yeah, I've got a small group going.
But you have all the arrangements made.
Yes, they're already made. Yep.
What are you going to do besides go on a train, which I think is great?
Well, we're going to be in Chamonix and Annecy, France, which is in the French Alps. And we're going to go up to my French pronunciation is awful, but the Agu du Midi. And it's like one of the highest peaks, and there's an observation up there, and you go through an ice tunnel.
What if it melts?
It's not going to melt. And that's like at like 12,000 feet or something like that. We're also going to Oberammergau in Germany. We're going to Lucerne. We're going to the Italian Dolomites, which that's where the Olympics have been.
Have you been watching?
Yes.
I have watched more of this Olympics, I think, than any in the last 20,
really?
30 years.
Really?
Yeah, I love the scenery. They're getting so much snow,
too. That's where we're
going.
We're staying right in Brunico, and we're going to end in Venice, which is my favorite city in the entire world.
Why? On account of the water?
I don't know. There's something very mysterious and romantic, and it's very, very quiet. I mean, you've got some of the noise from the boats, but there's literally no car traffic, and it's just so interesting. Like, you'll see a garbage truck go by that's a boat.
Yeah.
And I one time saw a funeral, and it was boats.
So they buried the stiff at sea.
No, they go out to another island. But I just love Venice. It's magical.
How do they keep the buildings standing up?
That's
always wanted to know.
I know, because I've seen a lot of programs about how it really is sinking.
Yeah.
You know, and they did build that big dam out in the harbor that they actually, I think it's air-filled, and they raise it up when the tide is coming in, so it's like a dam to keep.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, you got to see that program. I think it was on PBS.
Well, I'll have to watch it on TV,
because
I won't
be
attending the trip.
I know.
Mike in Saratoga writes in, Basque region in September. Hello, I'm thinking of a week or so in the Bilbao, San Sebastian, and Biarritz area of Spain and France in early September. Your thoughts on a week in this area at this time of year?
First of all, great area of Spain. The northern Spain is wonderful. If you go to Bilbao, you can go to the brand new Guggenheim there. That's the same architect. Now, I can't remember his name, but don't call in.
I saw pictures of that. Yeah, it's very nice. It's gorgeous.
And that whole coast. Gary.
G-E-H-R-Y. Gary.
Gary is the last name.
Okay.
Anyway, and you can just go along that whole coast. You can do part of the Camino Real, which is the old walking pilgrimage to Santiago del Compostela. Great food, beautiful scenery. I would try to go into one city and out of the other so that you're not backtracking. So maybe...
Oh, I see. You mean as far as travel?
As far as travel.
Understood.
Maybe fly into Bilbao and then fly out of Santiago Compostela. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
None of these are going to be direct flights. You're going to have to go through somewhere else because they're smaller locations.
Right.
But that would be a fabulous trip. Great time of year to go.
And is it too late for our writer to book a...
No, absolutely not.
All right,
No. September would be good. Yeah.
The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Travel with Gene Gagnon. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. All right, we've extinguished the small talk. Let's take a couple calls before the first break. Diana in Saratoga Springs. Diana, you're on.
Hi. So thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. My family is taking a trip to London and Paris. We are flying in and out of London and taking the Eurostar to Paris. I know that there is the ET something form for the UK, but what is this ETIAS form for France? Is that necessary?
No, it has not started yet. They keep on putting that off. That was supposed to start like 2 years ago, and it still hasn't started. When are you traveling, Diana?
Well, according to the website, we are leaving France the day that it goes into effect.
What day are you traveling?
April 11th.
No, so don't.
Over spring.
No, don't worry about it. No, you're fine.
Are you sure?
Yes, because there's two different things that are happening right now as far as security in Europe. One is something that means they're just using more facial identity. Okay, that is going into effect in April. But the thing that you have to go online and fill out is not. So you do know about the UK ETA.
Yes, we've already taken care of that.
Perfect. That's going to be good for you for 2 years. I recommend that you, keep an eye on the thing for France, but it's not coming out yet. Later quarter.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Have a wonderful time.
Thank you. 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest today. It's travel. You know, during the fun drive, I did play a bit of an old show that you were on. It was
you
from
did?
Last year. Yeah. And I cut it together so we could do some fundraising around it. A lot of people liked it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I listened back to it as I was editing it all together. Yeah, you weren't bad. All right, let's go one more call before the next break. Merle in Argyle. Hello, Merle in Argyle. What's happening?
I have a terrible story to tell.
Oh, great.
But
Merle, do you have a question?
Well, hang on. Merle's a good guest.
Okay.
He's a good caller. Yeah. But you only have a minute, so I don't want the long version, Merle. We got to go to a break.
Okay, I'll make this short.
All right, buddy.
I look for underwriters at WAMC. I didn't find any for travel aid.
Oh, really?
I did end up with AAA. I was going from Albany to Minnesota and back, and it was a nightmare.
Oh, boy.
Can I say the airlines on the
I personally don't want to get sued, Merle, so, I mean, maybe you could just give generalities of this whole thing before we head to break.
Okay, basically, two things are, they say be there 2 hours early.
Yeah.
you can be there 20 minutes and get on the plane.
No, you can't, Merle. So
Yes, you can.
Oh, boy.
I'm telling you right now, gates can close anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes prior.
Oh,
so I just want to make sure people understand that and don't take your advice that they take mine.
Just don't yell at each other.
Okay. I'll take your advice next time.
All right, what else, Merle? Right. What happened? You fall out of the plane?
No, they canceled the flight.
Ouch.
They delayed the flight.
Oh, boy.
And I called Albany. And they said they had a direct flight from Albany to Minnesota.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I ended up talking to some woman somewhere in California. So the red flag started going up when they wouldn't tell me they were.
It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think it was a scam, but they had a direct flight from Albany to Minnesota, and everybody says take direct flight.
Okay, well, we're running out of time here, so what happened?
Basically, I didn't do that. I went to travel.
Oh, boy.
So I got tickets.
Okay.
And I wanted to go to Minnesota, Lee Flowers at the two sites, and come home same day.
Okay.
I didn't get home for a day and a half.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
I spent the night in Reagan Airport.
Oh, that's
and
bad.
This is all on the,
That's bad, man.
Thanks for calling, Merle, but I'm going to address some of those things.
All right, so we'll do it on the other
listening.
Side of the
we'll
break.
We'll do it on the other side of the break.
You know what? The upshot here, Merle, is
listen on the radio.
Yeah, the upshot is, buddy, you should have taken the train. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. That's the number. And I'll tell you what, we're off to a rollicking start here. It's Vox Pop with Gene Gagnon and Merle and you and whatever. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, protecting the forests, wetlands, shorelines, and ridges that protect Lake George permanently Projects, events, and news at lglc.org, Cowpots and Freund's Farm Market, Connecticut Farm Family, striving to create a sustainable alternative and future by turning composted cow manure into renewable and biodegradable pots for gardens, cowpots.com. And Rhinebeck Pilates, celebrating 22 years in Rhinebeck and providing Pilates sessions and group classes using classical Pilates equipment and techniques. RhinebeckPilates.com for gift certificates and schedule.
Miles Davis, Seven Steps to Heaven here on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest today. And boy, we got off to a killer start here on this show. You talked about trains, which almost gave me a heart attack, and then Merle called. You want to address some of the things from Merle's nightmare trip?
Yes.
Okay,
so one of the things is he mentioned who he purchased the ticket from, which is not fair. Because just because he purchased the ticket from someone has nothing to do with whether airlines are late or delayed or things like that. And
so
I want to be fair.
I don't think he was blaming them. I think he just threw it in.
But if people hear this and then they hear that, I want to make sure.
Make a good point.
Right. Secondly, there are three kind of flights, and people get them mixed up. There's, of course, connecting flights. Everybody knows what that is. There are nonstop and there are direct. They are not the same thing. So you could have a direct flight from Albany to Minneapolis that makes a stop in Detroit, but you don't have to get off the plane. So it is direct. You're not making a connection, but it's stopping.
Why would you do that?
Because you don't have to get off the plane. You don't have to worry about if the plane's going to be late.
If you're an airline, why do that?
It's a coincidence that it happens that some people are getting off in Detroit and going to other planes. Some people are staying on.
Right.
Maybe it's a popular route.
Right.
Okay. So you have to be very careful when you see the word direct that you check.
Interesting.
That it's nonstop.
Yes.
Okay, because those are two different things. And you really do have to check in early. Especially in Albany with the construction and everything. I've been up there at, 5 o'clock in the morning, and the line to go through TSA is really, really long.
By the way, what's happening now with TSA with the partial government shutdown?
It's slower. It's basically slower.
So we have people still there?
Right. We still have people there. And the other thing is, don't forget, if an airline says they want to take off at 9 o'clock, that means they have to load the plane before 9 o'clock. And if you've ever had to get a house full of kids and spouses out of the house, it takes some time. So if a flight leaves at 9, they have to start boarding it by 8:30. By the time people go in, they put their luggage away, blah, blah, blah.
Maybe Merle travels light.
That could be, but I'm telling you, double check your airline check-in time so you don't miss your flight.
So
we've
Gene
had
Gagnon,
it happen to people.
If I ever decided to fly again, which of course I won't do, how early should I be at the plane?
It depends.
Well, you just
said. If it's an international flight, 3 hours.
Okay, 3 hours?
3 hours. And I usually get there about 4 hours ahead of time.
What time does the bar open at the airport?
Well, don't worry, it's open.
Okay, all right.
And for a domestic flight, really about 2 hours, 1.5 if it's a very, very small
airport. And what happens in that time? I mean, in the old days, it wasn't like that, right?
You're going to be standing. No, it wasn't like that at all. You're going to be standing in line at TSA. Because somebody in front of you doesn't have a real ID and it's taking longer and people aren't getting their shoes off you don't have to do that anymore. But,
what are you talking about?
Taking time. It's going through security.
Sometimes you have to take your shoes off. On my honeymoon, the last time I flew, I had to take my belt off, my shoes. Do I look like I'm in trouble?
Number one, yes, you do.
All right.
And number two, things have changed since the last time you flew.
No. I had to do all these things pre 9/11.
Come on. Yeah, but you don't have to now. You don't have to take your shoes off. That's a good thing.
Okay, let's just go to the phones. My head hurts already. It's a typical Gene Gagnon. Let's go to Abigail in Kingston. Abigail, you're on.
Je t'aime, Ray. Je t'aime. Anyway, my question, I've been in the business of travel, but never got further than mostly New York in terms of taking groups, and went to Canada when I was a young kid with my father, who loved to drive. He was a hack driver. Anyway, the question I proposed was, I've never been to Italy. However, I've been to a lot of European countries and the Middle East. But, and who would you recommend to go with an Italian tour?
Oh,
and thank you for
you can't hear the call,
and I've learned so much already.
Okay, Abigail. Okay. There was just a brief time when either Jean was having an episode or her headphones cut out, but she can hear you now. She can't really give you a recommendation of who you have to lead a tour. I mean, I think that
I missed the actual question.
Who would you recommend to lead a tour of Italy? And I think that's probably in a realm that we don't want to be in public radio giving those sort of recommendations.
What I would recommend is that if you're looking at taking a tour, see if the people who are running it are members of either the USTOA, which is the United States Tourism Organization, or if they're a member of ASTA, which is the American Society of Travel Agents. You know, you don't, at least I wouldn't want to take a tour with Joe Schmo. You know, I know Joe might be a nice guy, but I want to make sure that they're licensed. I want to make sure that they're insured. So those are the things you should check before you go on a tour with someone.
Well, if Abigail is looking online, is there sort of a repository for a bunch of people who might, or entities that might do that?
Yeah, you could go to the U.S. Tour Operators Association website and
U.S. Tour Operators Association.
Yes, USTOA. And you can also go to ASTA, which is A-S-T-A. That's the Association of the American Travel Agents.
Okay.
So you can look, you know what I mean? Look at that. And if somebody is licensed and they've been in business for a while, read the reviews, go to Yelp, go to Google, blah, blah, blah.
I would, Abigail, thanks for the call. I would assume that you wash out pretty quickly if you're not good at it. So if somebody's been doing it for a while, it's probably all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The number here is 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest today. We'll check the email bag in a little bit, but this one came in from Rick, and I got to read this because this is a question I believe I've asked you before, and you sloughed it off. But now it's one of our listeners who wrote in. Rick writes, I'm assuming Gene has been around the world a million times, and she's seen some awesome sights, but what is one of the worst vacation excursions you've ever had? Thank you, Rick. Genius.
Okay. One of the worst.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I literally cannot think of something that I didn't really, really enjoy.
Yeah.
When I was in Asia recently, I was in Hoi An during a typhoon. Mm-hmm. But it was one night, and we stayed in the hotel, and we had some drinks, and we had dinner, and we watched the palm trees bend in the background, you know, out the window and stuff.
And you lived, bottom line.
Yeah, and even when things go wrong, you have to remember that they make a great story. And we've talked about that before, that, you know, my parents, their first trip to Europe, back when the safety deposit boxes were actual boxes behind the lobby.
Yeah.
And you had to have a key, and the hotel had to have a key. Well, my parents put their passports in there and promptly lost the key. So they could not leave the next day, because the next day was a Sunday, with the group.
Yeah.
They had to wait until Monday when the bank opened, and the bank came and drilled open the safety deposit box.
Ah.
So they had to take a train by themselves. They had to get around by themselves. They loved it.
Okay, and the pain goes away.
Yes.
Eventually, only the good echoes remain.
Right.
A few years ago, it took my entire family, all five kids, wife, five kids. We took a bus trip down to Citi Field to see the Mets.
Uh-huh.
It was just horrendous at the time. There were drunks in the back and making noise and causing trouble. And it was a long trip, and we didn't think to pack any food, and we're just, it was, anyway. A few years later, it was awesome. I'm ready to go again.
Right, right. And it's a fun story to tell.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Peter in Glenville. Peter, you're on.
Hey, now. Ray?
Hello.
As always, I love you.
Thank you, man.
I think Ms. Gagnon is a fantastic guest.
Thank you.
You're wonderful, dear. If I wish I was like, you know, what Ken Burns and made documentary, I could make a movie just talking to you.
Yeah, you could. That's true.
Listening to you, I could do that. My question, I just had lunch with some good friends of mine, and they plan on going to the Amalfi Coast.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to know, like, you know, things to look for, and maybe, you know, I'm an armchair traveler. I watch Rick Steves, and
he tells you
times to avoid, you know, those are, you know, some of the, they're expensive cities, the three main cities there.
And I got you, Peter.
What I should look for and what I should avoid.
Okay. I'm ready. So Amalfi Coast, it's actually a part of a peninsula, of which Sorrento is on one side, and then you've got the famous towns of Amalfi and Positano along the coast on the other side.
Yeah.
You usually have to fly into Naples. That's the closest. Okay. You can fly into Rome, but then you're, you know, an hour train ride from Naples, plus getting to wherever you're getting from Naples. So personally, I love, number one, I love Sorrento. It's a little bit bigger, but it's very easy to take the ferries to Capri from there. It's close to Pompeii. It's charming. It's beautiful. So Sorrento is great, but it's not really the Amalfi Coast. But it's beautiful. It's on a cliff. You know, it's gorgeous. Of the major cities that are along the Amalfi Coast, Positano gets the most Instagrammable pictures. All right. But it's very, very expensive. And it's almost... How can I explain it? It's almost not a city anymore. It's a tourist city. Very few, you know, actual people living there and working. There's a lot of shopping, a lot of restaurants.
Right.
I love Amalfi. It's a little bit more like a real little village.
Right.
And there's also a couple of little ones, Maori, Minori. They're all accessible by ferry, because they're all along the coast. You can take the ferry from one to the other.
Yeah.
So I always recommend, no matter where you stay, I really don't think you're going to stay in Positano. First of all, it's like $800 a night, and it's crowded and expensive. But take a ferry there, walk around, have lunch.
Okay, maybe Peter's got a lot of money.
Have some limoncello, you know, and then go to the other cities. You also want to see Ravello, which is up on a mountain and has beautiful views. Ravello. They want to go to Ravello.
Yes.
They want to try to go to Pompeii because they're very close if they haven't been before. Okay?
All right. Well, thank you very much, Peter. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. Let's see here. Let's go to Newburgh, and it's Terry's turn. Hello, Terry. You're on.
Hey. Hi there, Terry from Newburgh. I was calling. I heard you say something about facial recognition and getting into Great Britain. I'm planning a trip where I'll be in Gibraltar, the Azores, Spain, and Ireland, and just wanted to know, other than my passport, is there anything I need to know for getting into those countries?
You know, I have not had anyone actually fly into Gibraltar, so just check to see if the UK ETA is required. I don't believe it is, but double check it. When are you going, Terry?
Oh, probably in about 5 weeks.
Okay.
Question for you. We'll be actually going to Malaga and then taking a bus into Gibraltar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, you won't have any problem then. No, you'll just need your passport. Make sure your passport's good for 6 months after you travel.
Why?
Because you can't
okay.
go. They
great.
Won't
Thank
let,
you so much.
You're so welcome, Terry.
Why 6 months?
Because many countries have restrictions. Like if your passport expires in 2 weeks, they won't let you in today because your passport's going to expire while you're gone. So they've cut the line off. Some countries 4 months, but the majority of countries 6 months.
Gene Gagnon is our guest today. It's travel, and the number is 800-348-2551 if you want to jump in. Or you can email us, and we'll check the email bag after the next break, voxpop@wamc.org. Robert is upstate in New York. It's a little vague, but he's near Amsterdam. Robert, you're on.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
My wife and I are thinking of taking our two children and two grandchildren to northern Italy next year. And we're thinking the strategy would be best to have a home base and then do day trips.
Oh, yeah.
We're thinking of Siena or Florence.
Okay.
And so, first of all, do you recommend that strategy? Number two, do you have a specific suggestion as to where that home base might be? And what do you think of Siena?
Okay, well, I love Siena. Siena's a walled city. It's where the famous Palio racehorses run.
Huh.
Siena would be a great base. Florence would be a great base. But this is the thing. if you're planning on driving to these places, then you want an even smaller base, because most of these cities, they're either mountain cities, so, you know, it's hard to get in, or they have quite a few pedestrian zones that you're literally not allowed to drive through. Okay, so for example, Florence, be a pain in the neck to go in and out of the city in a car. You'd be better off at like a little place. There are a lot of places that used to either be wineries or still are, or they were farms and now they're hotels. You'd be better off at something like that, so it's easy to drive in and out. So, you know, you leave in the morning from your little farmhouse hotel type stay and you drive to Siena, spend the day in Siena, and then drive back. That is what I would recommend if you really want to do driving around. If the only downside of that is at night, you're at this little tiny place, because you're not going to want to drive around at night, because it's not signed that well. There's not a lot of lights. So the other option you could do is stay in some place like Florence and then do day trips from there via motor coach. Okay, so for example, there's a fabulous trip that that people can take while they're in Florence. It's like 13 hours. You get on a motor coach with other people, and you go to Siena, you go to San Gimignano, you stop at a winery and have lunch, and then they bring you back at night to Florence. Because what I like about that is at night, you're walking around Florence. You're getting a gelato. You're walking back to your hotel after dinner. Do you know what I mean? So you sort of have to think, if I was going to use someplace as a base, do I really would, like, for example, would I rather be in a city like Boston and then take a day trip to Salem, take a day trip to Cape Cod, you know, do it like that so that at least I'm in Boston at night. Do you see what I'm saying? So you really have to think about that both ways.
And do you have a suggestion in terms of traveling in the springtime or in the autumn? Is there one better than the other?
Okay, the earlier you can in the springtime and the later you can in the fall. July and August are the truly high seasons, but May, after college is let out, and September have almost become secondary high seasons. You know, September is huge now because people go, well, I don't want to go in the heat of the summer. So they all go in September.
The weather's great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'm going in April. Lisa in my office is going to Italy. She's going at the end of March. Because I love it then. I mean, it's maybe still sweater weather.
Yeah.
You know, but good for sightseeing, you know, things like that. So the earlier in the spring and the later in the fall.
Robert, we got to take a break here, but thank you very much for the call. A lot of questions about Italy today.
Italy is going to fall into the sea. It is so crowded.
Wow, popular, huh? 800-348-2551. Well, you better get there before it drops in the sea. We'll be back with Gene Gagnon in a moment. Sonny Rollins and the Contemporary All-Stars there from a late 50s album and How High the Moon on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is our number. Gene Gagnon is our guest. Travel is the topic. A couple emails here at voxpop@wamc.org, and then we'll get back to the phones. Jen writes in, my daughter recently became a New Zealand resident, which gives me a great excuse to travel there. I've been to visit a few times already. I'm semi-retired, flexible schedule. What's the best way to find the most economical airfare for a 2 to 3 week trip?
Start checking at least 330 days prior. It has been my experience that the lowest fares are the ones that you book the earliest. So that is when I would start checking. And that'll give you a really good idea of what's a good fare and what's not a good fare. It's also going to be cheaper if you, or less expensive, I should say, if you sometimes fly out of a major metropolitan area. So if you're in the Capital District, instead of looking at Albany, look at Newark, look at JFK, sometimes Boston, but they don't seem to have quite as many really as big a variety of international carriers. And look at who you're flying on. There are many airlines that work with other airlines. You know, there's the Star Alliance with United, and they have many international airlines, so that you may be able to fly United out to the West Coast and then maybe Air New Zealand into Auckland or Wellington or something like that. So you really gotta look at all possibilities. You might even want to look at out of Montreal if you're in the capital region or not too far from the border, because, you know, that's always a possibility as well. Avoid the holidays because it's going to be busier and more expensive because the low fares are going to sell out much, much more quickly. So that's my best advice is book early.
Okay.
Look at all different carriers, look at all different connections, and go from there.
Well, since we're in that neck of the woods, Beck has a question about Australia. Can you suggest any tips about going to Australia? I'm more interested in natural sights, smaller towns. Any red flags or advice would be appreciated. And that's from Beck in Westfield, Mass.
Well, not anything that really has to be avoided. Sydney and Melbourne are beautiful cities. You want to go up along the east coast to where the Great Barrier Reef is. Absolutely beautiful. You might want to go to Uluru, which used to be called Ayers Rock, and they went back to the native name of it.
Interesting.
And that area is very, very interesting. You can even, you know, do the Uluru Rock, you know, at midnight and things like that. They do a lot of very unusual kind of touring out in the desert. The thing is, go for as long as possible because the airfare is going to be your biggest single chunk of change and the biggest time consumer. You know, it's going to take like 22 hours to get there.
Yikes.
Well, including layovers and things like that. You know, that's not one flight. But so while you're there, stay as long as you can.
Yeah.
You know, that's
sense.
Yeah, that's especially Australia.
And I mean, you've been.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's different than like going, like the other woman was going to New Zealand to visit her daughter. That's a little bit different. She'll probably go back. You know what I mean? But I recommend if you haven't been before, I recommend doing Australia first. And then if you ever want to go back, then doing New Zealand.
Okay. A couple more emails and then we'll jump back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest. Jim writes, please help settle a debate in our house. We've been to Aruba multiple times. I think it's absolutely perfect. In planning our next vacation, my wife suggested we try a different island because, quote, we've already seen Aruba and said maybe Jamaica. I say, why would we change what we already know we love? What do you think? And that's from Jim. Now, I counsel, be very careful. They both might be listening. So don't offend either Jim or his wife.
Okay. I can understand both points of view.
Beautiful.
It is sometimes more comfortable to go someplace that you've already been. However, are you broadening your horizons? So there's a you know, a pro and con on that. Personally, I want to see as many different places in the world, right? And even if you say, well, I really just want to lay on a beach, there are places, again, depending on the time of the year that you go, that have like the number one and number two beaches in the world, and they're not Aruba. So wouldn't you be interested to see that? Well, this is my point of view, okay?
So you're taking the wife's point of view. I'm gonna back up Jim on this and say, what's wrong with Aruba's beaches? Why the hate on Aruba?
There's no hate on Aruba.
Sure?
I'm saying let's try something different. And don't forget, Ray, you are the person who hasn't been on a plane for how long?
25
doesn't
years.
Like to travel. So if anybody listens to you,
all right, fine.
Then.
So stipulated. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Laura in Cold Spring writes, would like Gene's opinion. Well, careful what you wish for, Laura. I took a flight from New York City to Minneapolis and was then scheduled to take a flight from Minneapolis to Grand Forks, North Dakota, same airline. The timing of the connection was tight, but I did get to the gate for the connecting flight a few minutes before the scheduled takeoff, but the plane had already left the gate. So frustrating. The fact that it was the same airline just made me feel like they should have known we were just minutes away. Fair expectation? And that's from Laura in Cold Spring.
Okay, so Laura, we were talking with Merle earlier today about this very, very issue. So if a plane is supposed to take off at 9 o'clock, that means it's away from the gate and it's on the runway and it's ready to leave. Okay, so it doesn't matter if you're a minute or two, you know, we almost made it, because they had already shut the door, pulled away from the gate, and in this case, left. Okay, my question to you is, how long was your layover? I personally recommend that you do not take a layover any shorter than an hour and a half. So if the flight you chose was a 45-minute or an hour and 5-minute connection, well, you've been warned now.
So it already happened to her. I mean,
I know, but in the future, don't take short layovers. The flight can be delayed. Now, sometimes, I do have to say that sometimes flights get in early because airlines add time to their schedules so they can say, oh, we weren't late. We got in 10 minutes ahead of our scheduled time.
Well, that's not fair, though.
No, that's not fair. I don't like that at all. I don't like that because then it throws off everything. You know, is my layover really going to be an hour and 15 minutes? Or if your flight is on time, it's going to be an hour and a half or 2 hours. So it's a crapshoot. It really, really is.
Who can Laura complain to? Can Laura complain to the airline and say, you know what? How dare you? I took the FAA. Flights.
You could talk to the FAA. But you know what? This is the thing. It's caveat emptor. Buyer beware.
Yeah, don't break the Latin out on me, Gene.
Do not take a short connection.
That's fine.
I'd rather sit in an airport for 3 hours, granted at the bar, than possibly miss my flight.
Now, you can't see this at home, but Gene is wagging her finger at me like she is a school teacher and I'm a sixth grader. All right, lay off. I'm just trying to make sure Laura's happy. Kathy, oh, nope, Tony's in Niskayuna. Tony, go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
We're taking a cycling trip to Portugal and landing in Lisbon. And I'm wondering, are the taxis dependable to get to airport or to get to the hotel, or do I have to book a private service?
Oh, no. You
especially
could Kathy, you could definitely, take a taxi. There'll be a queue at the airport. You'll just wait in line and they'll put you in the next taxi. What you never want to do, not just in Portugal, but anywhere, is if you're in the terminal walking towards either the taxi queue or you're getting ready to go outside to grab a taxi, if someone comes up to you and says, oh, do you need a ride, you know, to Lisbon, that means he's unlicensed. So I don't recommend that.
Yeah.
But if they're in the queue, you know what I mean? If there's somebody, you know, loading up the cabs as they go, that's fine. And I hope you're going to spend some time in Lisbon on your bicycling trip.
Yes, before the bike trip. There.
You're going to love it. Yes. You're going to love it. Yes. Go to the Time Out Market. It's like a giant food hall, which is fabulous. Mm-hmm. And make sure you also walk around the area called Alfama, A-L-F-A-M-A. It's on a hilltop.
Okay,
a lot of beautiful, beautiful.
All right.
Beautiful. Well,
thanks,
Tony. Now, one more.
Sure, go ahead.
How, with that new entry system going into Europe, is there anything that you have to do to prepare for that other than to have your passport?
No, just the passport as of right now. Yeah, not until the end of the quarter of this year. They might have the electronic visas available, but right now you don't have to worry about it.
Okay, fabulous.
Okay,
thank you so much.
You're
Appreciate
welcome.
It.
Tony, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. Travel today with Gene Gagnon and Kathy's in Valencia. Hello, Kathy.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You bet.
My brother lives in China and has for the last 17 years, and I'm finally planning to take a trip out there. When is the best time to go to China? He lives over by, I don't even know how to pronounce it, Jiangsu, Hangzhou. And when's the best time to go? Is there any special paperwork that would require, such as a visa? And are there any areas that I should visit, like maybe with a tour before I visit him?
Well, yes, and yes. Okay, so you definitely have to have a Chinese visa. If you book a tour either before or after your visit, most valid tour companies will actually, you know, give you some kind of help with your visa, either give you a service you can use. I don't like going directly to embassies because then you're just sending down your passport, like you're either putting it in the mail or FedEx or whatever. I like using a Visa service. It's a little bit more expensive, but it's, for me, I like the ease of mind.
Yeah.
You know, the comfort of that. Yeah, you should definitely see as many areas of China as you can when you go. And that's what it depends upon as far as the weather. You know, the north is a little cold, but not awful.
Have you been?
Yeah, okay. I was many years ago, but yes, I went, and it was on a tour.
Right.
It was on a tour. You know, we did the Great Wall, we did all that stuff.
Cool.
And I highly recommend all of that. Shanghai, beautiful, the gardens, the temples. So I would definitely start looking at some kind of guided tour that you could either end at your brother's or go to your brother's first. Okay. But
okay,
you can do that with tours.
How long of a tour would you recommend?
Oh, as much time as you can spare. Because again, it's just like, well, it's just like the lady who was going to Australia. You know, it's a long flight.
Right.
And right. You know, you might want to see your brother, then go on a tour, then see your brother again. You know what I mean? If you haven't seen mm-hmm. him for a while. So as much time as you can. I usually tell people, you know, some people might be like this, but I have never said I wish I went home yesterday. I mean, that's just me.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And is there any particular time of the year that would be better than other times of the year?
Either the spring or the fall would be great.
Okay.
That way you're not going to hit
too high a
variance in temperatures.
Kathy, thanks a lot for the call. Let's see if we can grab a couple of more here before we wrap it up. John is in East Nassau. John, you're on.
Hello. Thank you for taking the call. My wife and I will be getting off a cruise ship in Southampton, England
mm-hmm.
on Saturday, September 5th, and getting on a different ship in Southampton on the 7th. I have 48 hours, give or take, to tour England. What
okay.
would you recommend?
Well, I would definitely recommend going along the coast, going along the Jurassic coast in particular.
Jurassic?
Yeah, the Jurassic coast.
Huh.
So,
go figure.
Let's see. I'm going to look at a map because I'm just trying to get it straight in my mind. Yeah, the Jurassic Coast is named that because they found so many prehistoric whatever.
I'll
you know
be
what
darned.
I mean? Up
yeah.
there.
Dinosaurs,
as a matter of fact,
they call them. Fossils.
Yeah, but they found a head, like recently, of this whole new animal. Anyway, right along that coast.
It's a different show, Gene.
So you might either want to do a rental car or do some kind of a tour. Southampton itself is also very charming. You know, it's an old British town. They have a Victorian pier there. So if you're there 48 hours, you might, like, one day, the night that you – well, you probably arrive in the morning if you're coming off a cruise ship. So that afternoon, maybe right. walk around town, and then maybe the next day arrange either to have a car and driver – and do like a little local tour because the beaches are so beautiful along there, up on cliffs and, you know, things
yeah.
like that. And then, that's what I would do.
All right, John, thank you very much. Very quickly now, only about 90 seconds. Corey is in Katona. Hello, Corey. You got to turn the radio down a little bit, okay?
I turned the radio down.
You're on. Go
so,
ahead.
So I have a question about, I'm flying into Zurich on April 20th with three other adults, and we wanted to know, are there lockers, because we're going from Zurich over to Luzern for a couple of days, and then picking up the Viking River cruise in Basel. So are there lockers that we can put our luggage in so we can see a bit of Zurich before heading to Luzern?
I do not know. You would have to Google that. And the Zurich Airport will actually have their own website. So Google Zurich Airport, go on that website and look. Unfortunately, you know, there's so many airports in the world. They took them away for a long time, but a lot of them they have back. So you'll have to check. It probably won't be lockers.
Okay.
It might be a baggage storeroom. You know, where you actually go, it's, you
yeah.
know, and you
check your bags.
Right, and check your bags. But you'll have to Google that and check that out.
All right, Corey, thanks a lot for the call. Frank writes in, and I'm sorry this just came in. For anyone who loves trains, where would you recommend we go in order to enjoy a train ride as the travel destination itself? I've heard Canada has one, or perhaps here as well, between Chicago and L.A. But what about Australia, New Zealand, elsewhere in the world?
They all have fabulous train rides. I think it's the Blue Train in South Africa. There's a great train ride in Australia. But these are usually luxury trains, you know, like the Orient Express,
right?
Things like that.
Yeah.
But you can take many, many trains that have a beautiful view on them that are just trains. You could go from Albany to New York City and see the Hudson. Beautiful.
You know, I love it when you talk about trains. It's a shame that we didn't start with that, and then we'd have a whole show about trains again.
Yeah, that's really breaking me up.
Gene Gagnon loves trains. Let the record show. All right, Gene, if people want to find you at Plaza Travel, how do they do that?
They can call us at 518-785-3338. They can find us on Facebook. It's a public site, Plaza Travel Center. We have an email, plazatravelcenter.net.
All right.
And they can email me at gene@plazatravel.net.
Now, I won't see you before you go to Italy, right?
That's right.
So we'll see you when you get back.
You're right. Want me to bring you back some gelato?
You can bring me a meatball parm or something. Support comes from New York Folklore Gallery Shop, J Street, Schenectady, bringing folk and traditional art into classrooms around New York State through training, residencies, and programming. NYFolklore.org for details. And Waymo, autonomous driving technology with a focus on safety and accessibility, designed to provide options for people who cannot drive. More at Waymo.com. Thanks again to Gene Gagnon of Plaza Travel Center for being here. Thanks for the great calls and the emails. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Andrea Leong screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, yep, it's gardening. See you too.